Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Title of the message this morning is Guilty in the Eyes of the World, Acquitted in the Eyes of God. Praise the Lord. Guilty in the eyes of the world, but acquitted in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. You get there, say amen. Praise the Lord. One person found the verse. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited. You get there, say amen. Oh, it's a little better. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Saints, if anything can be said of you, let it be said of you that you have an excellent spirit. That you have an excellent spirit. That's a thing well pleasing to God. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, saints, if this man, it could be said of Daniel, even without the existent, continuant presence of the Holy Ghost of the Old Testament, can you imagine how it should be said of us, in whom the power of God does dwell? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I want to read that again. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. We're not going to find any. The man's upright. He's moral. He's a good man. We're just not going to be able to find it there. There's only one place we're going to be able to accuse him, and that's going to be with his God. Then these presidents, princes, assembled them together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, counselors, captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Always be aware when somebody's setting you up for pride. Always be aware there's a snake in the works somewhere. Come on, church. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then they came near, spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, they didn't like him, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, they're speaking for the king now, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He's saying that in hope. Daniel knows it in faith. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet. My God, pride will put you in awful predicament. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither was instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Hallelujah! My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Father, we thank you today, dear God, for the purpose of the kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus, oh God, that that purpose is just as real and true and vibrant and strong. God, it's not of a thing of a religion or a theology, that thing of a man, dear God, but it is the purpose of God. Father, for your purpose has got to be a vessel. That vessel has to house that purpose, God. We have a treasure in a vessel. You're using men and women and young people, Father, to accomplish your work and your will. Lord Jesus, we pray today in this place, oh God, that our service, our church, our preaching, our songs, our worship, not only here but abroad, God, would produce a Daniel. My God, raise up a Stephen. God, give us a Moses. Father, give us, God, give us an Esther. Give us a Naomi. My God, give us people of the Lord. Father, we pray that you'd raise up such a people, God, whose character is such that no finger of the world could be placed upon it. Father, no, nothing of the world could be said against them. We pray, Father, that the only accusation that could be placed in the direction of the child of God would be concerning him and his God. We pray, Father, though accused of the world, we are acquitted by God, hallelujah, that the world would scheme a thing, but God is going to take his part in the matter. Father, at the conclusion of the thing, God is going to equip the child of God and reveal his purpose in that life and give glory unto the same. We'll give you the praise for it. Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shouted amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. The saints, this story is known well by all of us. We've read it since kids. We've seen it both in rhyme. We've seen it in the cartoon drawings of those in the children's Bible studies. We've studied it throughout. We know the story. Daniel is probably one of my favorite, not because of his prophecies, not because of the revelation of the Word of God unto him, but the thing that stands out supremely in Bible characters that are endeared to my heart is faithfulness. Daniel was a faithful man. That's why Joseph has always been one of my very favorite Bible personalities. Daniel is another, because no finger of accusation could be placed against their lives. Today, we're looking at this life of Daniel, not just this episode, but it is a life that brings us to this kind of a picture. Daniel's was such a life. He was such a moral character, but that wasn't all that he was. He was a godly man. For men sought accusation against this godly man and realized and drew a conclusion that we're not going to find any manner of ill doing in this life. Their whole searchlight was turned on this man. He is elevated, obviously, in the eyes of Darius, the king, who would set him over the whole realm. And jealousy reigns in these men's heart. We will find some smut on this fella. We know that it exists on our life. It does on all men's life. It surely will on his as well. But they could find none. Saints, you know, today we go through the political process. We've seen this. I'm telling you, they're going to turn the searchlight on. They'll have every detective. They'll have anything they can find on that potential candidate will be found. And then it's going to be blasted across the news. Every source of media will carry the news of the event. There are some men who would have potential of leadership, but they have such sordid past life that they will not shame themselves by having that searchlight turned on their lives. But Daniel was such a man, he welcomed that searchlight. Come on, saints. And there are times when God will set up an individual and allow that searchlight to be turned on that individual to reveal God's presence upon them. Remember what he said to Satan. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What did he do? He said, "You bring in CNN and Fox and ABC, you bring in the BBC, you get the radio, the newspaper, and the television out here. You hit him from every angle. You can have everything he is, save his life. And when you get done with him, I'm going to be revealed as God, and he's going to be revealed as my son." If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah! Accused by the world, but acquitted by God. Saints, there are times when the world has the opportunity to accuse you of something. They're going to accuse you. Now, you're not. The saints of God, they accuse Jesus of being a wine bibber and a glutton. They're going to accuse you. They're going to accuse you of things that you've either done or not done. There are times your posture, there are times something you've said that they take it at a slant. You meant this, you said that. There are times it'll be out and out dishonest lies all the way. There's no sheer truth of fact. But in this case, saints, as it would be the desire of all of us in this room, you know, you can live such a life that if you bring smut on that life, it's going to do more to cause you to lose face than it is them. There is such absolute confidence in the character of that life. I remember when I was in high school, I believe junior or senior, when our history teacher, who was a good man, he made this statement that they're making a strong effort to rewrite history. I didn't see but we see it today. They have rewritten history. They've written into our text. They've drawn down the moral element of the historical figures of our past. But I can tell you there's some. George Washington is one to me. That if somebody were to write in some historical record, smut on that man. Now, he was not a prophet, but he was the first president of this nation and the great general leadership. If I see an author's name set on a book that draws that life down to low estate, I'm going to have more distrust in anything that man has to write than I am that first president of our nation. It was said of George Washington that when you would go into those committee meetings and council meetings, how would you know him above the rest? It was said of him that he was a man on his knees. Hear me, saints. There is such a lifestyle that a man has the privilege to live that if you were to point a finger of shame in that direction, it would do more to draw an ill light upon you than it would that character. They found Daniel to be such a man. That we're not going to find any ill doing in this man. We're not. But the only place we can accuse him is toward his God. So they set up the elements of distraction. They came before the king, found him in his pride and haughtiness of his heart. Said, "Let there be a time of 30 days that no man may bow before any God. Give praise to none else but the king of long." And his pride caused him to sign the edict. He did not know that there was a method behind that mind, that they sought to destroy a godly man in that kingdom. But Daniel was such. They knew this sage would be set perfectly. They knew the end result that he would bring an ill savor upon his life. Why? Because they knew that three times a day that window was going to be open. It would not shut down that prayer life. I don't care what you say or do. I will apologize. I will serve my God. Brings back to remembrance again. I told you just a little while back. It comes to my mind so often when Brother Clendenin would tell us, he said, young Marine came in. He said, he always said that New Testament. He said, always reading, always praying. He said, I was his sergeant. Sitting down underneath the tree one day, I walked over by him and I made some off-the-cuff remark. He said, I wasn't saved, and made some off-the-cuff remark to him. He said, he finished reading the passage that he was in, closed his little Bible, stood up to his full six-foot-something frame, put his little Bible in the front pocket, slowly snapped it closed, walked over and stuck his finger right in my nose and said, neither you nor these Marines are going to take this from me. And my God, in that place, said, no matter what, I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what. If there's any matters of accusation, let it never be said that they're stealing from the coffers of the church. But there's been a moral, immoral affair committed among the family home. We cannot find any ill doing in their life. We watched them on vacation. We've set out across the street. We've watched them from every vantage point that we can find. There's nothing of ill savor in that life. The only place that we can draw any accusation is we must create an environment that will bring them into ill favor concerning their God. Saints, can I tell you today, they're looking at the church through a narrowness of view. Often seeing the ministry in the church, you know, today, if you're going to cut somebody, you call them a television evangelist if they're in the ministry. Well, you know those television evangelists, they want all your money. You send them $1,000 and God's going to repay you with $10,000. All of that ridiculousness that goes on inside the ministry today, accused of this and that. If one thing happens, you'll see it all over the headlines. I've got a friend that I know right now has been accused by a girl in his church. There's no shreds of evidence that can be found. They've gone through court. Even her own family has testified against her. And yet the news media in that local city has smattered his name and face all over the headlines. Hear me, saints of God. Joseph was a young man accused falsely by Potiphar's wife. But I'm going to tell you, he's the one in that prison cell. Hear me, saints of God. When that finger of accusation is cast against the church, may we live such holy lives that the only inference upon us that can be drawn is that toward our God. If you believe it, can you say amen? Now, how is God going to exonerate now? The enemy has laid siege against me. They've put me in an awkward position. They've drawn me into a place not of my own choosing, but they've used the pride that was in the heart of a friend and has brought me into an awkward place beyond his ability to change. And now I'm going to be cast into the den of lions. What now? Now listen to what this king says. I know your Lord's going to deliver you. He didn't know that in faith, church. He sure hoped it. I'm telling you, he's hoping. I've killed you. Oh, Daniel, I've killed you. I have killed you. He spent the night fasting, wouldn't allow instruments of music to come near him. He sought God. I don't know if he knew God, but he sought God. I'm telling you, he was trying to place himself in any capacity to be able to minister unto the Lord, to affect God on Daniel's behalf. Oh my, saint of God, if you live a life for God, there'll be infidels on your job. There'll be fornicators and idolaters. There'll be those who are apt to theft who will come alongside of you and try to place themselves at their best capacity to be able to affect God on your behalf. Saints, God will send you some of the off-scouring of the world to come alongside as your defense. I was talking to Brother McGee this past Friday evening. He said, we were down in South America and we were ministering there. He said that there was a group there that said, we're going to take your life. You preach the gospel, we're going to kill you. He said, we showed up at a place and there was two men. He said, part of their fingers was missing. He said, look on their face. I knew these were murderers. And they said to us, he said, we know that your life has been threatened, but this is our turf. And as long as you preach in our turf, we're going to stand out here and protect you. He said every time we'd preach, I hope I'm getting this right, ladies, they're out of his church, but stand back there and preach. He said they stood out there in protection. Saint of God, if you and I will serve the Lord, if necessary, God himself will send the most off-scouring of the earth to prove that he again is God. If you believe it, can you say amen? Why? Because God is going to acquit his own. Hallelujah. Joseph laughed the word. You know, it never says that Potiphar learned the truth. But saints of God, how many times he must have questioned his actions when he saw Joseph riding behind the king, the first horse behind the king. How many times must he have questioned his actions when God gave him the wisdom to do the things that he would do? Here, Daniel, you're cast in the den of lions because you have broken the law of the king that for 30 days none may worship but the king alone. Here, Daniel, you're going to be cast in the den of lions. Daniel, God's going to take care of you. I hope. He didn't say it, but he hoped. He hoped. Cast into the den of lions that night, throughout the night, seeking the face of God, trying to place himself in as much capacity as he could. It amazes me. On the job, as you see young men, the whole scene of the world is upon their face, but God gives you favor with them, and you feel that favor. Next thing you know, it's amazing how their language cleans up, and they're just about to say something, but they draw it back in, and they say something else. So, you know, training with a young man, you can hear his music down there, three blocks down the road. While he's with us, he finds some gospel music. He goes, whoa. He said, one of them smoking in his vehicle, and he said, you mind if my smoke? And so I said, thou shalt not. No, I didn't. I told him, I said, this is your vehicle. It's your vehicle. He smoked, but you could tell he's a little bit uncomfortable about it, you know. It's just the whole thing, watching that. Saints, the king, he's trying to place himself in a capacity so that he might affect God on Daniel's behalf. Oh, my God, may we live such a life. Oh, my. I'm telling you, saints, there are some drunks, there are some drug addicts. They're never going to heaven, but they're going to be your friend. My God, God's going to send you strange people along in this life that he's going to raise them up for a season. There are times when God would use the wicked nations of the world to accomplish his judgment, and his hand was upon them to do so. There are times when God is going to raise up a Darius on your part. He's got faith in you. He believes in you. Saint of God, can I tell you, God will send an infidel if he has to. You believe that? Can you say amen? My God, Daniel, God's going to take care of you. Into the lion's den he goes. Can you imagine the next morning when he comes out? Daniel, is your God who is able? How is it? I can see Daniel. If he had a bit of larceny in him, I could hear him just kind of falling silent for a moment or two. I'm going to let you sweat. Oh, no. I'm just going to let you sweat. After all, it's you're the fault I'm down here. Oh, no, I don't believe that. I believe there's too much grace in Daniel. Oh, King, live forever. My God, he's kept the mouth of the lion. Oh, Saint of God, the enemy may set its ambush against your soul, but the acquittal comes from Almighty God. You believe that this morning? I said the acquittal comes from Almighty God. How does that happen? It doesn't happen in a moment. Oh, no, no, no. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime for these events to be revealed as they are. Joseph, how does he become second in command? Is it because he had a hard turn? Oh, no. It wasn't because Potiphar's wife accused him that God made him the prime minister. It wasn't because he went through backsets and sorrow that God chose the blessing for the suffering he was through. Oh, no. He was God's man for the hour. He lived a life of faithfulness and humility and brokenness before God. It was only a foregone conclusion that God's will was going to be perfected in that young man's life. His life would process events that would later reveal glory unto God. And saints of God, you and I should live such lives that it's only a foregone conclusion that God's will is going to be perfected in us. I believe this. Anytime people come to me, and I've watched their lives, if they've lived sordid lives, haphazardly, in and out, up and down, and they come and say a thing, then I deal only in that matter. Give advice only to that end. But there have been times I've watched a life, I've watched their faithfulness, I've watched them serve God, I've watched them make sacrifices, and now they're in an awful spot. Saints, I do not deal with that end. I take the whole gamut of things. And when they say, oh my God, I'm not going to make it, I stand up and say, oh yes you are. And when you get through with this, you're going to be better than you were. As you're shut in with God, every eye closed, just as a way of getting your mind off of everybody else and only upon what God would say to you this day. Saying to God, I'm going to tell you, what you do today really does matter. Because the enemy seeks an ambush against your soul. And he would destroy you by any device that you allow him to destroy you by. For you and I supply most often the enemy's means by which we are destroyed. You hear me? Most often we're the ones who supply the devices that the enemy uses against our soul. If you're here this morning, you've lived a lethargic, haphazard, lackadaisical life. You've fallen prey to religion rather than giving in to the work of God and His Spirit upon your life. Then I can tell you that there is one who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And he seeks an ambush against your soul. You're laying the tools of that destruction into his hands. You are laying the ability in the hand of Satan to destroy your life. He does not have to use accusation of your relationship between yourself and God. He can use the natural forms and tools of this natural life to destroy that which has not fully been given to the Lord. As my wife makes her way to the piano and begins to play, and you and I are shut in with God this morning, saints, you're in this room. You and I have been privileged with this text. We have been privileged with the text concerning Joseph, Daniel, David. List goes on. Bible never asks us, God never asks you to be a Daniel, never asks you to be a Joseph or David. It asks you to watch their lives and from their lives extract the faithfulness by which they lived. It says to you, you may never ascend the throne of a kingdom, but you can live a faithful life of integrity before your God. You can live a life of sacrifice that says no to the world and yes to God at all times. As she begins to play and you're shut in with the Lord this morning, I pray God would challenge your heart about today. Today, how will you live your life? Well, one day, Pastor, when things get better, circumstances change, I'm really going to give my heart to God. One day when I'm in a particular position or situation, I'll live for God. Saint of God, your life will not be at such capacity to draw such grace over it then. These life tests and moments by which you and I are drawn into are acquitted by God not because of the circumstance, but because of the capacity of your life. Daniel, it was only a foregone conclusion that God would acquit him because he was a godly man. No sin found in that life essentially because he served God. And yet, saints, you and I have both found that even in the church, that hidden life that nobody sees but God, that hidden David moment when he finds Bathsheba and commits great iniquity, that moment's going to be revealed. How? Through his son Absalom, as he commits the same multiple times, not in hidden darkness, but on the rooftop of the palace before the populace to see. Hear me, saints. How's David going to be rewarded for secret sin? It's going to be because of the exposing, and that the sin and the sword will never depart from his home. If that be the case toward iniquity, saints, let me tell you the case toward righteousness. No matter what the enemy may accuse you of, let it be a false accusation. Every finger that's pointed in your direction, let it fall beneath the truth. Dear God, when the world says one thing and concludes a matter, the heathen that found Paul and his entourage washed upon that certain island of Melita, As he is placing the wood in the fire, the viper came out of the heat and latched upon his hand. They said, "This man's a murderer. The sea suffereth not to live. He's done some crime. The sea couldn't kill him, so this snake surely will." Said he's a murderer. The Bible said he shook it off in the fire and felt no harm. And after a while, they changed their mind and said, "He is a god." Was it just that event? No, sir, saints. Paul could have ran in absolute fear, fallen prey, but it was because of the capacity of the life lived for God. Faithful yesterday, faithful today, faithful tomorrow. I'm going to live for God today. Tomorrow never comes. Yesterday's never lived in. You only live in today. Tomorrow becomes today when it arises. Come on, church. You never live in yesterday and you never live in tomorrow. Only today. Today, if you live for God, tomorrow is going to take care of itself. And watch how the hand of God plays out on your behalf. As she continues to play, I want you to stand with me across this room. You're here shut in with God. I want you to know that circumstances are going to challenge your life in the days ahead. The accuser of your life is going to point its finger against you. Is it going to be an honest report in what's pointed? Is there anything hidden in darkness that Satan's going to have the privilege to reveal? Those things that can be shaken will be shaken. Are those things there evident in your life? For the day of challenge and rebuke will come as it does. You're here this morning in this place, you'd say, "God, I want to live my life above the reproach of the adversary. The finger may be pointed. I cannot remove that accusation. God, if such a man as Joseph was accused falsely, then who am I? If Jesus, the very Son of God, was accused of being a glutton and a wine bibber, that he didn't know who was washing his own feet, if he'd have known, if he was such a good man, he'd have known. If Jesus himself was accused, and I will receive the accusation of the adversary. But Father, I want my acquittal to come from God. Lord, I want to see what your hand will do on my life. The world may never know. But, oh God, if I'm regarded justly in the annals of heaven, then let it be so. If I must carry my reproach, Lord Jesus, that I cannot remove on my own, then, God, I choose not to defend myself in any of these matters. But, oh God, I give myself to you here this morning. Saint of God, and very well the days may declare such events over your life. But if you will live for God, I'm telling you, you've got God sitting on that throne in that judgment seat. You've got Jesus Christ, the righteous, defending your case, and God, the Holy Ghost, flowing through your soul. You're here this morning, you say, "God, I want to live a faithful life. I want to please you. I want my whole life to declare that God is my God, that no accusation of the world will fall in truth over my life, but my acquittal would be of the Lord." If that's your desire, I want you to come across this place, these altars, these front seats. Would you come? Come on, saints. Let's seek the Lord in this house this morning. Oh, hallelujah.
Well, I care not today, but tomorrow may
thank
bring
you, Lord.
Shadow
my
or
God.
Sunshine or rain. Cause the Lord I know ruling everything. All of my worries gain. Living by faith. And I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. From all hope's safe in his sheltering arms. Yes, I'm living by faith. Oh, yes, and I feel no alarm. Well, the tempest may blow, storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, but I'm never alone at the overcast skies. The master I know looks on at the strife.